It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. I know it's been a little break there. No real excuse. Honestly, sometimes life just gets in the way of things, and there's been a lot of things that some things I can't talk about yet, but there's been a lot of stuff kind of on the go, and it's kind of just gotten in the way of getting the show done. So I'm back with kind of an all geek edition of the show, just because there's been so much geek news that we really have to get into it all and just, you know, dissect it. Really break it down. And we're probably going to move the show from Thursdays to a weekend thing. That's kind of still debating it, but it just might fit better with the new schedule that we might have to come out on Saturdays or Sundays as opposed to coming out on Thursdays. So I'll keep you up to date on that. Of course, on our social medias, where to find kind of any updates on that stuff. Of course, the Scotty Myers Show on Facebook and Instagram, at Scotty Myers on Twitter. As soon as we get that kind of figured out, I'll let you know. On those platforms. Before we get into the geek stuff this week, and I geek out over this, but they brought back live Run Disney events. So if you're a runner, the marathon registration is coming up soon, and there's one in November, and me being an impatient fool, I signed up for it. So I'll be going back to Disney in November. Really excited to go back and see all the 50th anniversary celebration stuff. They've announced new fireworks and just a ton of new things on the way. So keep your eyes open for full reports from that. Again, that's coming up in November, which means I have to get my ass in shape, get some of this COVID weight off so I can, you know, not die during the run. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm not nervous at all. Now let's get into the geek stuff. I want to start with Masters of the Universe, He-Man. Not something we usually talk about just because there hasn't been a lot going on Eternia for a long, long time. And that was until Netflix and Kevin Smith brought it back. There's five episodes, I think, up right now. I watched the first one and I really dug it. I like the story that they're telling. The first one kind of ends definitely with a big cliffhanger. I won't spoil it because it just came out. So I'll give you guys a chance to check it out and form your own opinion. I see some people online upset at the direction of the show. I want to see more episodes before I get upset or not upset. I was intrigued by the first episode. I thought the voice acting was great, especially Mark Hamill's Skeletor is really good. It's a standout in that first episode, so hopefully we get a lot more of that. But animation's cool. It definitely is a pickup from that kind of 80s animated show that we all kind of fell in love with He-Man. There's lots of nods to a ton of characters, even in the first episode, just characters that, you know, didn't necessarily get a bunch of love in the original run. You get a little nod to them in the first episode, and I'm sure they're going to pop up again. So if you're a He-Man fan, I mean, I grew up with it. Loved He-Man. One of my kind of fondest Christmas memories is getting Castle Grayskull under the tree. So He-Man was a big part of my childhood. So the fact that I can sit down and kind of watch a continuation of that story is really, really cool. So far, I will give a kudos to Kevin Smith for taking me back in time a little bit. And, you know, I just sat there on the couch and watched that show with a big stupid grin on my face. And that's kind of how I judge most things. You know, if you listen to the podcast, you know, if I have a big stupid grin on my face, I'm pretty happy. And I was with that first episode of Masters of the Universe. So hopefully the rest of the series continues down that path. Switching over to DC, lots to cover in the world of DC. First off, we got the last trailer for Titans Season 3. Dear God, this show looks good. I was a fan of Titans season 1 and 2, but season 3 really looks like they're upping the ante. I mean, first off, just in the trailer alone to see Nightwing in full Nightwing gear was pretty badass. But in the trailer, there's a really cool line from Bruce Wayne to Dick Grayson where I'm not sure where they're going to take this story, but he says, you know, be a better Batman. So are they setting up Dick Grayson to take the mantle of the Bat? You know, is that something that this Dick Grayson is going to want to do? Because if you've watched season 1 and 2, he's obviously had a ton of issues with his upbringing under the tutelage of Bruce Wayne. So interesting wrinkle there. And then, of course, you see the Red Hood in full get up and he looks badass. And, you know, Starfire, Beast Boy looks like he's kicking some ass this season. The trailer looks amazing. August 11th is when we're going to start to get season three. And honestly, it cannot come fast enough because that trailer, just amazing. That's up on our socials. If you haven't checked it out yet, please go take a look at it. I think you'll really, really dig it. Speaking of DC TV shows, Peacemaker Season 1 has wrapped production. According to James Gunn, they are done. Of course, they may have to do some pickups or reshoots here and there, but for all intents and purposes, Season 1 is in the can. So that is fantastic news. And sticking kind of with the Suicide Squad and Peacemaker and all that, the early reactions have come in to the Suicide Squad, and I haven't seen a negative one. Really, they've all been fantastic. They've all said that this is a movie that is ultra violent, but yet has some really good jokes in it, also has a ton of heart, and that you're going to fall in love with numerous characters. Different reviews have kind of said who the standouts are. Of course, a lot of them say Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn is a standout, but she has been in every movie that she's been in. But also they say King Shark steals a lot, which I get the feeling he will. Ratcatcher 2, lots of love for Ratcatcher in the early reviews for the Suicide Squad. So it really looks like James Gunn has done it. You know, he did it with Guardians of the Galaxy. He took a bunch of unknown or relatively unknown characters and made them household names. We'll see if, you know, Polka Dot Man becomes a household name after the Suicide Squad. I think the only thing that's going to hold it back comparatively to the Guardians is that we've got a really hard R-rated Suicide Squad movie. So, you know, kids aren't going to be seeing it and going, I want to be Peacemaker. You know, that's not going to happen. They're not going to see Weasel and want to have Weasel toys on their shoulders like Baby Groot. So very different audience, but I'll be curious to see the overall reaction by crowds. Again, I've said it before on the show, if DC is missing one thing, I love what they put out, it's just not very kid-friendly. And I'm not saying that I want it to be kid-friendly, but that is how you get the next wave of fans, right? Like, you know, all these kids right now that are growing up on Marvel movies, when they have kids, and if their kids suddenly discover Spider-Man or Iron Man or something like that, it's going to be this really amazing, like, oh, you know what, son, when I, or daughter, or whatever, when I saw, when I was a kid, they made an Iron Man movie, and oh, let me tell you, and then he might even show it to him. Whereas, you know, if your kid grows up and is like, oh, I like Suicide Squad, and it's a five-year-old kid, you can't be like, well, here, let me show you James Gunn's The Suicide Squad. Oh, this is my favorite scene when Peacemaker talks about eating dick. It's not going to play the same. So I'll be curious to see overall the reaction that it hits. But having said that, I cannot freaking wait to see Suicide Squad. It says tickets are on sale now. That must be for the US because I have checked here in Canada repeatedly and tickets are not on sale yet in Canada for Suicide Squad, but I check every damn day because I plan on buying a ticket for opening night and I'll have a review both on the podcast and I'll probably do an In the Car movie review for Suicide Squad as well. And speaking of Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, of course, people praising her for the role. She said she's going to take a little break from Harley. She said doing Birds of Prey and Suicide Squad, it was almost back to back. So she didn't get a lot of time off from Harley. And she said playing Harley can be exhausting. And I could see that. You know, playing Harley Quinn is probably not the easiest role in the world to tackle. So she's going to take a little break, but she definitely made it clear she's not stepping away from Harley Quinn. She's not giving up the mantle of Harley. She just needs a little time off. And she said, you know, she doesn't know how long that will be, but she needs a little break. And I think she's earned it. So we'll just hopefully see her sooner rather than later. And my hope is we get to see a Gotham City Sirens movie. You know, I really would love to see Harley with Poison Ivy explore that relationship. That needs to come to the big screen. So that's where I'd like to see her come back. But we'll have to wait and see. We've also gotten our best look at Black Adam so far. The Rock put out an Instagram photo. It was kind of behind him. So we couldn't see the logo, like the lightning bolt on him. But you could kind of get an idea of the suit. It's very textured. It kind of has that, you know, Man of Steel suit feel of the texture, and also what they changed the new Shazam suits to look like. They have, you know, they're not as flat or as smooth. They all have a textured look to them. And man, The Rock just looks like, even from behind and not seeing the lightning bolt, but that guy just looks, he was built and created to be a superhero. And he is so into Black Adam that my expectations for this movie are kind of over the moon. And maybe they're too high without even have seen a trailer, which my guess is we won't see a trailer for Black Adam until DC Fandom in October. But just these still images, the movie looks like a massive scope film. It really looks like they're not holding anything back. So we got our best look and it looked good. Now we just have to wait for the trailer. And again, my guess is we're not going to get that trailer probably until DC Fandom in October. That's probably when we'll get another Batman trailer as well. I have a feeling DC is going to hold a lot off until DC Fandom this year. In some casting news, we finally know who's going to be Batgirl. It only took forever to get a Batgirl, but we finally have one. And she's kind of an, I don't want to say an unknown, but she's kind of becoming a breakout star. Her last film, In the Heights, she got rave reviews for that. Leslie Grace has been cast as Barbara Gordon in the upcoming HBO Max movie, Batgirl, which I still think is odd to me that they're doing Batgirl on HBO Max, because I think Batgirl, with the right script, is a giant blockbuster film. And I know, you know, DC and I guess Warner and Discovery now have this idea of some projects on HBO Max and some projects for theaters, much the same way Marvel is using Disney Plus and the theaters kind of simultaneously. So they're going to put HBO Max first with Batgirl. And yeah, we've got the Bad Boys for Life and Miss Marvel directors behind it. And the script is being written by Christina Hodson, who did Birds of Prey. And she also did the upcoming Flash movie. And she, just a ton of stuff. She did Bumblebee, which is probably still to date the best Transformers movie we've gotten. So looking forward to this one. We don't really have a set release date or anything like that. But yeah, we now have a Batgirl. So congratulations to Leslie Grace. Hopefully she is ready for the role of Barbara Gordon. And speaking of HBO Max projects, it's been kind of a dream casting that if they were going to do one of the versions of a Black Superman, that Michael B. Jordan was cast in that role. I don't know what happened. I don't know if J.J. Abrams and his kind of plans, if they talked to Michael B. Jordan and he just wasn't into it, or he just wanted to have more of a say, but he is at least producing a Superman project for HBO Max. Now, right now, it looks like it's going to be a limited series, so maybe like 8-10 episodes tops, and it's going to focus on the Val Zod version of Superman. So it's an Earth 2 Superman, takes over the mantle Superman mantle from Kal-El. Suit's awesome. I've always loved the Val Zod suit, where it's kind of a silver instead of a yellow. It was always a kick-ass suit. Val Zod's an interesting character. Now, it hasn't been confirmed whether or not that Michael B. Jordan will actually play him in the project. I have a feeling, though, that he will. That hasn't been confirmed. Just that his production company, along with HBO Max, are producing a Superman project that right now reports are it's a limited series. But I would be shocked if Michael B. Jordan is not Val Zod. And again, we probably won't get that casting announcement officially until DC Fandom. I'm amazed that the Batgirl thing came out. You know, they could have waited a couple months and done that at Fandom as well. But anyway, so that kind of catches you up with the world of DC. Let's trek on over to Star Trek. We don't talk a lot about Star Trek here. There just hasn't been a ton of Trek news recently. You know, shows are going along like Discovery and whatnot, but there hasn't been anything groundbreaking. But it looks like there is a movement, thankfully, finally, to get Star Trek back on the big screen. And WandaVision's Matt Shaman is going to direct the next movie. So we now have a director for the next Star Trek. As far as who's going to be in it, what it's going to be about, any of that stuff, not a blessed clue. Really, we don't know anything else except for the fact that they have a director, which is awesome. Now, I don't know if I'm in the minority on this one or not. I've enjoyed kind of the Chris Pine led Star Trek films. I've enjoyed those in the theater, thought they were a good time. So I'd be on board if they were like, yeah, Chris Pine's going to come back. He's going to be Kirk again. You know, Zachary Quinto will be Spock, and they're going to continue that. I'd be okay with that. Also, if they wanted to start fresh, new story, new cast, whatever, you know, now would be a good time for something like that as well. So the good news is, if you are a Star Trek fan, there is another movie coming, and now they have a director. Staying in the world of star stuff, let's head over to Star Wars, and congrats to The Mandalorian. It leads of all shows, the 2021 Emmys, with 24 nominations. Congrats to that show. That is absolutely phenomenal. Really, really well done. And apparently they have started production on season 3 of The Mandalorian, so that is good news as well. Staying with the HBO Max shows, because that's really the only thing that's kind of growing right now in the Star Wars universe. Movies, you know, they're kind of on the back burner, but it appears that Obi-Wan has found their Princess Leia, which makes sense. There should be a young Princess Leia in the Obi-Wan show. They have cast Vivian Lara Blair, who you have seen in Bird Box. She's going to play a big part in Kenobi, according to the report, as Princess Leia Organa of Alderaan. This is kind of cool, you know. Makes sense. Young Leia should be part of this. There's going to be a young Luke, presumably. So, this show continues to be interesting. We've got Hayden Christensen in there. Rumors that Darth Maul may show up. Like, all kinds of interesting rumors flying around the Obi-Wan project. And because of the time frame that it kind of takes place in, there's lots they could do. You know, they could do multiple seasons of the show. I don't know if Ewan McGregor is down for that, but I'm curious about Obi-Wan. I'm actually very excited for Obi-Wan, but really, really cool that they've got a young Princess Leia in there. Moving over to Marvel, WandaVision got 23 Emmy nominations, so not too shabby for WandaVision, just one behind The Mandalorian. Falcon and Winter Soldier, 5 Emmy noms, so congratulations to Falcon and Winter Soldier. And Loki, of course, wrapped up, and Season 2 is confirmed. It was right there, kind of your after-credits scene in the season finale for Loki, that Loki will be back in Season 2. So that's cool. I enjoyed Loki. We're going to get to the final episode of Loki in just a couple of minutes. And Loki is reportedly going to appear in Doctor Strange 2, which would make sense, because after the events of the finale of Loki, we now have a multiverse. And since Doctor Strange 2 is in the multiverse of madness, it all makes sense that Loki shows up there. And speaking of Loki, it's time to kind of dissect that first season. I'm going to have some spoilers here. Listen, it's been a couple of weeks. If you haven't watched it yet, I'm still going to give you a spoiler warning, but seriously, what the hell? So spoilers coming up in 3, 2, 1. The first season of Loki was good. Here's the thing I'm going to say, and some people are really going to disagree with me on this one. All of the Disney Plus shows so far for Marvel, in my opinion, could have been movies. Like WandaVision, I said this about WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier was the same. Loki, definitely. They, you know, Loki was what? Like 8 episodes, something like that? 8 40-minute episodes. They definitely could have scrunched that down into a couple-hour film. Because there was a lot of filler. There was a lot of stuff that was not needed in the first season. Now, when it comes down to the finale, things happened very, very quickly. And we kind of met the next big bad as He Who Remains, probably going to end up being, Kang the Conqueror. It's been rumored forever that he is the next giant baddie that is going to take over the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we got to meet him. Again, if this guy is the next big bad, I thought his introduction was almost too low-key and too... Not Loki, low-key. And you know, he should have been more imposing. He was very much in a James Bond villain role here where, you know, he sat back and laid out his master plan and why he has done the things that he has done and how they've been for the benefit of humanity and blah, blah, blah. And to me, it brought the episode to a screeching halt. You had this, you know, them racing to get to this guy, and then you also at the same time had Owen Wilson back at the office trying to figure out what's going on there. And you know, they both get out of the kind of purgatory they were in on that planet with classic Loki having a great moment to save them. And there was so much cool stuff that led up to this that just sitting down and having a conversation with He Who Remains was very anticlimactic. It was just kind of like, really, this is your finale episode? It's a fucking conversation. Come on, guys. And then even when he died, it was, again, anticlimactic. He had the one line where he was like, you know, see you soon or something to the effect of that, you know, he'll be back. But still, it was, again, very underplayed. It didn't feel to me to have kind of the weightiness that it should. If this is your next big villain, and this is the guy that is going to wreak havoc on the universe, and is the guy that is only going to be able to be defeated by the Avengers coming together, I didn't get that impression from him. And, you know, first impressions mean a lot. So I thought the way they handled him in this episode was okay at best. Again, Tom Hiddleston is fantastic as Loki. He is probably the main reason why I enjoyed the series overall. But I also found it weird where, you know, they were basically setting it up for him to fall in love with Sophie, another Loki. So a multiverse version of himself, which, listen, if you're in love with a multiverse version of yourself, that to me is just like multiverse masturbation, right? You're not really with somebody else. You're with you, but it's a different you. It's like when you switch hands. I found it very odd that, you know, I get it. It fits Loki that the only person he may love is himself, but it's a weird thing to be like, I'm going to kiss me, even though it's not me, but it is me. It's a version of me. Very odd. Very, very odd to me. But overall, I thought the series was good. I enjoyed most of it. Again, pacing, I've complained about that with every Marvel show so far. I think they could have been a little tighter. They're stretching to make these things full-on episodes. But overall, good. I would be back in for Loki Season 2, but I'm not sure where that will be at that point in time, because by the time we get to Loki Season 2, we probably will have Doctor Strange 2 and you know, Spider-Man's multiverse thing. So there's going to be a lot of multiverse stuff in the Marvel Cinematic Universe by the time Season 2 rolls around. So be curious to see where he is with the TVA and all that after the films. But overall, a decent first season, carried, I think, a lot by the charisma of Tom Hiddleston's Loki. I may be in the minority on that opinion, but you can let me know. Scotty Mars Show on Facebook, at Scotty Mars on Twitter, and Scotty Mars Show on Instagram as well. And that will just about do it for this week's edition. Again, I will let you know if we're going to go back to Thursdays or the weekends, just trying to figure it out schedule-wise. So keep your eyes open on the social media pages. And until we chat again, have a great week.